Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point of today's episode, episode 45, is Jack Lakovic. Today's episode is one you don't want to miss, so stick around. Don't even hit that fast forward button, because here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to introduce you, Jack Lakovic. Jack, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I'm just really excited to be here and just kind of share what's going on in my life and hear a little bit about what's going on with you and just get into it.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Jack. Jack Absolutely. Is a great guy. Everyone knows him to be dynamic. One of those dudes that just always puts a smile on your face. So it's a real pleasure having him. I love him. You all will love him too. So Jack, why don't you give us a little bit of a background? Tell us kind of who you are, maybe what you're up to.
Yeah. Yeah. So who I am is, I met Joe going to John Carroll. I went there for 4 years for undergrad. I played soccer and I also was a member of the football team as well my last year going there. Graduated with an accounting degree, worked in accounting for a little bit, then worked in a financial wealth management firm for a couple years or so. And then after that transition, I'm starting a new position at another firm in a couple weeks here that I'm excited for, and just been working and a lot of exercise, and that's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's amazing how fast a couple years goes too, right? Like we've only been out for a couple years, but all that gets crammed into those years.
Yeah,
so it's absolutely. Really amazing.
Yeah.
How did you ever decide on the accounting world? What was the draw there?
I think when I was just in school, I was majoring in math before. I was going to be an actuary, an actuarial science I was majoring in. And I was doing that for the first 2 years, and I actually enjoy math. And I enjoyed all those classes that I took, but it got to a point where I just realized it wasn't something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Sure.
And honestly, to be honest with you, I just looked at all the other majors and I knew accounting had a 99% job placement from John Carroll. And really just hopped on that train and took those classes. They were really hard getting through that program, but was very proud of myself that I was able to graduate with that.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And I honestly loved the accounting industry and everybody that I worked with. I just realized I didn't like the actual job itself and went into sales. So
that's what's awesome about it. Like, I think that's something I learned really through college. Like, same thing. I was kind of on the opposite end. I was an English guy, studied English. And I'm like, what can I partner this with that would actually lend towards a specific job at the end of four?
Yeah.
And for me, it was the education world. So it's like, you know what? In the state of Ohio, I can get hired as an English teacher.
Yeah.
You know, it's like very concrete. No matter where it takes you after that, whether it's into sales or whatever the case may be, it's like, you can be hired as an accountant. I can be hired as an English teacher kind of thing in that world. It's really great. And Jack, you mentioned you played soccer and football. We'll touch on football in a second, but soccer's been a part of your world for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a really weird sports story, but
all right, let's hear it.
So in high school, I was always a baseball player growing up, actually, up until high school. And then I hurt my arm and I couldn't play anymore. And when I went to high school, I went to Highland High School in Medina. That was a new school for me. I didn't go in middle school. I actually went to Wadsworth before that. So I didn't have, you know, any friends. I was in a brand new school. And I was kind of out of luck with baseball at this point. And I just, you know, it was summer and I was like, okay, what are my options to play like sports in the fall? Because I was always an active kid growing up. I loved playing every sport in the backyard with my friends. So I hopped on the soccer team. I started playing soccer for the first time when I was in high school. I didn't ever really touch the field for varsity. My senior year, I sat the bench all year long. I would get in those games where we'd be like killing the teams or getting beat really bad for like the last, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. But really never excelled in high school. And I think that's was just because my lack of experience. You know, a lot of these kids have been playing their whole life.
Sure.
And, so when I graduated high school, my cousin, Matt Nigro, who went to John Carroll, he actually went to Ignatius as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he, I've always been close with him and my aunt and their family, just being immediate family.
I remember shout out that they're awesome people too. Right?
They are.
Shout out Matt and his family.
Yeah. So that summer, I had decided to go to John Carroll. I looked everywhere else. I looked at Ohio State, all those other schools. And I just picked John Carroll because I really liked the campus and everything that they were about. And my aunt said to me at the dinner table, we were at a grad party or something, and she said, hey, Jack, are you going to play soccer at John Carroll? And I just looked at her, like, very confused, and I said, you know, Aunt Christy, I don't know. I didn't even, you know, play in high school.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be possible for me. I'm not very good, you know? And she was like, oh, well, I'm sure you could. You should try out. And my cousin Matt talked to me about it, and he, you know, kind of convinced me to go out for the team. And I'm very grateful for him kind of taking me under his wing that summer and just connecting me with the coach. I remember I called the coach, Hector, and he had a talk with me, and he was very transparent and very just, you know, you're more than welcome to try out. I know you've had a lack of, you know, you have a lack of experience compared to, you know, some of these other guys. So it is going to be tough, but, you know, you're more than welcome to come to preseason and try out with the guys. And, you know, Hector also was just a great, you know, one of the greatest coaches I've ever had, just as a person, super, just family oriented and super kind heart, and just very motivational. So that summer, you know, before I came to John Carroll, I knew that I had to be good at something at these tryouts.
Yeah, okay.
And I looked and I said, okay, all of these guys are going to be really, really good soccer players. Because John Carroll, you know, my freshman year, we ended up being ranked fourth in the nation. So all these guys were captain of their high school team, like the star, like very, very good soccer players. And I said, you know, like, I told myself, Jack, you're not going to be able to do that. But what you can do, I found out they were having these fitness tests in preseason. And I said, okay, if I train really hard and pass these fitness tests, then that's something that I can excel in. That's something that I can put effort in that takes no skill. That's just effort and hard work. So that whole summer, I just trained every day, practicing these tests and tried to get in the best shape that I could. I ended up passing 2 out of 3 of the fitness tests. And during tryouts, I just worked really hard. I put my head down. I was very silent and I wasn't like a loud or like arrogant player. I couldn't really be an arrogant player because I wasn't good, but I just was kind of like head down, work hard, jogged every drill, be really very respectful to the coaches. They kept me on the team.
I love it.
I made the team, which was cool. I don't think they made any cuts, but I definitely was one player that could have been cut.
Sure.
And that fall, I ended up winning the Most Improved Player Award.
Nice.
Voted by all my teammates. And at the end of the year, in the spring, when we had all our individual meetings with our coaches, I remember Hector and Dejan, the assistant coach, who's actually the head coach now, they both told me that they only kept me on the team because I had a very good work ethic and, you know, I just had a really positive attitude. And that, you know, that really was something that changed my life, just viewing sports and just knowing that, like, those two people saw something in me. And, you know, without that, without even making that team, I wouldn't have it, you know, the friends that I have today from John Carroll, from the soccer team. And I wouldn't have the confidence that I've developed as an athlete from them. So, yeah, that's a little bit about my soccer career. And then I played for the following couple of years on the team.
Yeah, it's wild, right? I think sports do that. I think they're important because they build a sense of community, number one. But number two, they teach us lessons on and off the pitch in this case that you apply to everything. Yeah. You know, like, you're never going to forget, number one, that conversation that you had with your coaches where they told you, like, hey, it paid off. Like, look at it, right? You got to play. Yeah. And then it kept manifesting from there further and further into your career. Yeah. And number two, what you did to get to that point. Yeah. And I think, like, anything that you're endeavoring into, then you know, all right, I did this before, I can do it again.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you see it coming to life in your life now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I could just kind of go off that.
Yeah.
So I got to my junior year and I realized that soccer was becoming something that I was kind of fueling myself with, like, attention. And I noticed that I didn't get as much attention as, you know, my other friends that were on the team that were good players. A lot of people, I learned to respect you based on how good you are at something.
Sure.
And that's not all people, but I felt like that with a lot of people. And I was just kind of always searching for, like, that attention, whether it be in sports or women or careers or what, you know, just accomplishments in general. And so I told myself my junior year, after the junior year season was over. I had always played football in the backyard growing up, but I never played organized football. And I said, you know, I bet if I played football at John Carroll, I'd get a lot more attention because it'd be something new. I'm sure nobody has ever, you know, played soccer and football and not been like a kicker mm-hmm. at John Carroll. So I wanted to be like the first person to do that. I thought that would kind of give me like a fulfillment okay. and like true like happiness, you know. So the summer before my senior year, I sent the head coach of the football team an email and just, you know, told him that I wanted to try out for the team. And he immediately wrote me off and basically, you know, he asked me a couple of questions saying, have you ever played football before? Where did you play in high school? I said, no. And he was like, okay, well, I already have a lot of, you know, receivers this year, and I just don't think it would make sense for you to play with you never playing football before.
Sure.
And that only fueled me more
yeah.
to prove, you know, to prove people wrong and prove him wrong. So I was about 170 pounds at the time, 175. And for the next 6 months up until August, I went to Corbo and John Carroll and the weight room that I had back home. I went 6 days a week. And all I did was lift and work on cardio and try to gain muscle and get stronger. I came out in August at about 195 to 200 pounds. And I was like lean and I was really, really in shape. And I kept asking the coach to put me on, you know, give me an opportunity to try out.
Yeah.
And he just kept writing me off. And then our senior year, about August or September, that's when COVID hit with the sports. So football got canceled that fall.
Okay.
So what I did was I reached out to Jake Floria, the quarterback at the time, great guy. And he was, you know, he's another guy I'm so grateful for, is he really just took me under his wing and allowed me to come to their player only workouts and you know, get reps from them as a receiver, the QB. So I started working out with them. I was still going, emailing the coach and trying to talk to him. He still kept writing me off. And then they had the spring season. I don't know if you remember with football. Mm-hmm. He still wrote me off, said, sorry, we don't have any positions on the team. You haven't played, blah, blah, blah. And that really put me in a dark place, but I just kept working. And I said, I'm going to take a leap of faith and do a fifth year, half semester, and see if I can get on the team. So I did a fifth year. And that summer, the following summer of 2021, I would drive up to the coach's office, the head coach, football coach, from Wadsworth. I was living with my parents over the summer.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know if he was going to be there. There were a lot of times where I would just drive up there and he wasn't even in the office. And every time I did drive up there and get a hold of him, we'd sit down and he'd talk and he'd be like, you know, I'd give him my spiel of what I've been doing, how hard I've been working and, you know, the muscle I've put on and how bad I really want it. And he every time would just say, you know, I'm sorry, we just have too many receivers. I have too many recruits. Like, we just can't bring you on. And, you know, I was never upset with him about that because I totally respected that opinion.
Sure.
I mean, how could you ever bring on a guy that's never played football and even in high school before and mm-hmm. play college? But I just kept working and I kept emailing him and I kept going in and talking to him. And then it was about, like, I want to say the last week of July, it was like 2 weeks before football preseason. I had went into his office and he was like, I'm really sorry, but I just have too many guys this year. We just can't bring you on. And, what happened was I'd given up and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go to school this last semester and finish my degree. And I got a text about 2 days later from the coach saying, hey, would you like to still play football this year? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, receiver ? I remember vividly like how excited I was looking at my phone. And he gave me an opportunity to try out. I went to the field with a couple of the quarterbacks and a couple assistant coaches came out and watched me, and I was offered a roster spot, and
that's
I got
awesome.
To play. I got to play college football my fifth year of college. So
that's so cool. Yeah. Yeah. How did that season go for you? What was the kind of that breakdown? Did you get on the field? What did it look like? Yeah.
So we have a second team, like a JV team. I got to play a decent amount on that field. It was really hard to get playing time just because I never played football. The plays, like learning the plays, are very complicated for someone who's never played before. So I think that was one factor that kind of just set me back.
Yeah.
But I was just grateful for the opportunity just to meet all those guys and just be able to play on the team and still get reps. But I definitely learned so much that year. And I also just felt like I gave the guys so much respect that had been there longer than me and put the 4 years in, you know, all those guys. And they worked so hard for that in the weight room. And I saw that. And that was really awesome to see, like, those guys just finish out their last year being able to play with the pandemic happening. So it was awesome, though, just being a part
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, congrats. Those stories are amazing, right? Yeah, that underdog story. And yeah. when I look at both the soccer story and the football story, a couple things stand out to me. First, in the soccer story, you had your aunt who believed in you and was like, you should try out, right? And then yeah. in the football story, you had the opposite. You had the coach who was just like, no, dude, like, we don't have a spot for you. Yeah. Didn't really believe in you. It was like, you never played, wrote you off, as you've said. So opposites there. But in both stories, you've had a person, you had your cousin Matt, and then you had the quarterback at the time for the football yeah. who was like, you know what? Let me take you under my wing. Let me show you the ropes a little yeah. bit and kind of give you an opportunity here.
Yeah.
What did that teach you? What is it about having someone in your corner that's willing to almost go to bat for you?
Yeah.
Or like, to use like a baseball reference, go to bat for you and kind of have your back and maybe put you out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And that was kind of the next part of the story. So after football ended, you know, I talked about earlier that fulfillment that I was kind of chasing. Football gave me that fulfillment. Being a college football player gave me that, you know, happiness, but it was temporary. I mean, I didn't realize that at the time. But when I graduated, finally, it was the fall of 2021, December 2021, I graduated. Life immediately got very dark and depressing because this whole time at John Carroll, my identity was football, soccer, women, you know, going out, you know, getting super trashed at parties, like stuff like that. And, you know, I still go out today, but it's just, you know, to celebrate like my friends' birthdays and like sure. I get a couple drinks with my friends all the time. But it was like that though,
yeah, yeah.
like going crazy. And that was what my identity was in. And when I graduated, it was like, whoa.
And now what, right?
Now what? Now what's my identity? Now who's in my corner? And, you know, my whole life, I'm very blessed with my two parents. They love the Lord and they've always pushed me. You know, my mom's always made us go to church my whole life growing up until high school. But when I went to college, I kind of stepped away from that. And I didn't really attend church anymore. And, you know, if you would have asked me if I believed in God, I would say yes, but I wasn't sure. really living a life of, you know, having a relationship with him.
Yeah, when we fill it with so much other stuff, right? It's hard to, like, you can't fill it too much.
Yeah.
There's got to be room.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I went down this really dark spiral. I started getting anxiety. I had never, like, believed in anxiety before this. And mm-hmm. I kind of thought it was, you know, a very cowardly thing that was made up. And it was just like stress that people just had to deal with.
Sure.
And I like have called people, you know, soft and things like that for not being able to deal with that or like making it up. But I got it. And I was like to myself, I just looked at myself and I said, wow, this is real. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. You know, there were moments where I couldn't drive to the grocery store because I was so paranoid about just everything and like trying to find my purpose in life. And I didn't know where to turn. So I reached out to a friend, my friend Nate Pavlovich, who I grew up with in the church. I knew he was still heavily involved in the church and his relationship with God. And I said, you know, I heard about this program, this event called Collective that our church does. It's people like 18 to 28 that are in college or, you know, working. Are you guys still do that? Can I still come? And he basically said, yeah, they still do it. I go every Thursday, like, come with me. And I came. I went to Collective, and from there, I just started to interact with the Lord, and he really touched my heart, and I got to hear about the gospel and how, you know, Christ died for me and how much he cared about me and how much he's always been in my corner. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life. I started going there, and I think about 4 or 5 months in, my anxiety completely went away. My depression, like, was here and went down significantly. And I just had a crazy life change from pursuing a relationship with Jesus. And it allowed me to forgive everyone in my life that's hurt me. It allowed me to treat people with kindness, even when they, you know, don't feel the same about me. It allowed me just to love others and just be a light in people's lives, like just having God in me and living through me. And, you know, that was the first time where I realized, like, Jesus has always been in my corner, and he's always someone that I can talk to and will speak back to me through the Bible when I'm reading scripture. And, you know, ever since that, it's like, that's who's always been in my corner, and that sure. is my identity now, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah. It is amazing. I mean, even, like, again, to touch on Nate, like, Nate brought you there, right? It's amazing. Like, I would encourage all of our listeners to think about that, like, who the people are in their corner that kind of maybe are acting as that Jesus figure in their life that are bringing them to that goodness. I think that's really powerful. But I want to kind of push you on this idea a little bit for specifics, if you will. You mentioned that as your relationship with Jesus grew, you were able to forgive people. You were able to find that purpose.
Yeah.
What is it about the relationship with Jesus that enabled you to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the more I dove into my relationship with Jesus, I learned who he is and how much I wanted to be like him.
Okay.
Through his whole life, he was a perfect man. He lived sinless. And just reading stories in the Bible about him being tortured, made fun of, betrayed. I mean, like, one of his best friends who he was boys with his whole life, at the end of his life, completely sold him out for money. Yeah. And, like, they were, like, imagine, like, you living with one of your best friends and you're best friends with him for life, and then at the end, like, he just betrays you. It's like he went through crazy things. But through all that, he loved people. You know, he cared for people. He healed people. And at the end of his life, he gave his life for me. And that was the most important thing that I learned, is, like, he gave his life for me when he didn't have to, so I could be forgiven for everything that I mess up in. Because just because I have a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean I'm better than anyone, doesn't mean I'm a perfect person. Like, I still mess up every day. I still, you know, do things that I don't want to do. But I don't have to live in guilt and shame anymore about those things, because I know that I'm forgiven for them by Jesus, you know. And I still feel convicted by those things, but guilt and shame are things that I've learned don't come from the Lord, and that Jesus paid that price for me. I think the biggest thing for me when I first started coming to Collective is I was very, like, I viewed everyone that were there as, like, perfect people. And it was like, these people don't understand what I'm going through.
Sure. Like, yeah. These are the Mother Teresa's of the world.
Yes.
Right?
These are the, you know, like, these people have never been to, like, the flats, or they've never, you know, been to part, like, they've never done this with, you know, this gender. Like, they don't know. They don't know anything. They don't know what I've been through, you know. And what changed my, you know, relationship with Jesus and my interactions with him was I started going to this life group on Monday nights, and we would all just meet and read the Bible together and talk about our lives. And I remember when I first walked in there, I just looked at everyone and I was saying the same thing. Like, these people are, like, perfect. I just feel like a misfit in here. Like, and I'll never forget, one of my friends started to open up about his past and what he'd done. And it was crazy, because I didn't even, like, see him as that person. I couldn't even believe what he was saying.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you did that. There's no way you were that person. And I ended up getting closer and closer to these people, and I realized that their past is just as crazy as mine. They've experienced a lot of things that I've experienced. I'm like, I can actually relate to these people.
Yeah.
And I just started to think about what made these people want to come to church and have a relationship with Jesus. Why did he give up this life? Because right now I feel like this is giving me happiness, you know, doing all the things that I talked about. And it's like, I just wanted to know, and I saw in these people how, like, joyful they were and how happy and how just, you know, stress-free and peaceful
sure.
their mentality was about everything. And I wanted that. And I realized that Jesus had been standing in front of me this whole time just saying, I can give you that. And I took his hand, and I think that was probably one of the most, you know, it is the most life-changing decision that I made, was accepting him into my heart, because it definitely completely changed my heart and my life just like those people did. Yeah. But it was weird because when I first did it, it was like, all right, Jesus, I'm taking your hand. I feel like all these parts of my lives like are right the way I'm living, but I just asked, like, will you change me? Will you change my heart? And he did. And it's crazy because I never would see myself, you know, being the person I am today because of that.
Yeah, shifting.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you just kind of offer your up, right? Like, it's in the Our Father, right? Thy will be done. That prayer is really profound.
Yeah.
We say it so often, but it's just this utter surrender of our own wants and desires, so we think, for some clarity.
Yeah, it's, absolutely.
It's very a powerful line. For me, too, I would say, like, people's faith always moves me. I'm a Roman Catholic, so Mass, right, and the priest holds up the Eucharist, and it's like, you'll see these people that come in with a walker or something, for example, and I can picture this guy that I'm referencing right now, but he'll come in on a walker, and, like, he'll get down on his knees, and I'm like, dude, you're walking in here with a walker, and, like, you're, that kind of faith, that humility is real moving to me.
Yeah.
So I totally kind of can grasp what you're saying when it's, like, you see other people, and you're like, oh, man, I see that guy and I'm like, well, what do I have to complain about today, right? Yeah. Like, what do I have to, whatever the case may be. It's like, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, if he can do it, I want to do it kind of thing. So it's really comforting almost, or inspiring, maybe would be a better word, to have people in the same environment as you, trying to be followers, trying to be better people and keep that faith.
Like, absolutely. I think too, one thing that I just never was told, like I grew up in the church. Like, I was a church kid. I heard every day that Jesus, you know, died for me. I know all the Bible stories, but like nobody ever told me that Jesus loved me, you know? And that was like, loved me through it all. He's always loved me the same.
Yeah.
He loved me while I was going out. He loved me through all my bad decisions while I was doing all that. He loves me now. He'll love me in the future, no matter, you know, what sins I commit. Like, he loves me and wants a relationship with me. And when I learned that, I mean, like, that's just, that was really what got me so interested in having a relationship with him, was just seeing that.
Jack, how do you see it shifting? So you had an experience where you weren't told that Jesus loves you. Contrarily, I would say what I had maybe more was, I was told that. So it would be like, you know, you fail a test, for example, and then it's like, oh, Jesus loves you. And it's like, well, I wasn't asking about Jesus loving me. I just failed this test right now.
Yeah.
You know, so like, those are kind of opposite ends of the spectrum where it's like, almost like the circumstance matters, if you will, for not the relevancy, but in that case, it's like, okay, well, I know Jesus loves me, but I still want to do well on this math test, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Like, how do you find that delineation between maybe putting everything off and saying, oh, it's okay because Jesus loves me, and like using it as a rationale for your actions?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I think, you know, I struggled with that thought for a while. But I've learned, like, first of all, in the Bible, it literally says, you know, God says, give your best effort in everything you do. And that was something that changed my perception of, like, okay, there's a difference between saying, like, God's got me, I could be lazy and not do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Or God, you know. But I learned that, you know, when I'm trusting the Lord with the plan that he has for my life, and I'm giving full effort towards it, and I'm asking him to be invited to all these parts of my life, it's like, I don't have to worry. But there's also the self-discipline aspect of, like, I'm chasing after the Lord. Like, I want a relationship with Jesus. When I mess up, I'm immediately, you know, asking for forgiveness. And I know I'm forgiven. But I'm turning back to Jesus and saying, will you heal my heart? You know, will you remind me? I know one of the verses I think a lot of people, like, misinterpret is Jeremiah 29:11. I'll pull it up real quick right here, but let me pull it up.
Absolutely.
Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah. So it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and hope. And I think a lot of people, what they misinterpret about that verse is, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. That's the Lord talking. A lot of times our plans, what we want, our heart's desires, can be different than what God has planned for our lives. But it's all about trusting. Like, God has so many bigger and better things that you can't even imagine for you. But it's hard to trust that in the moment. But it's like, you know, my heart wants to play professional football, right? Mm-hmm. But I know that God has a plan for my life, and I know if it's in his will, he'll make it happen. I'll play and be able to use that platform to spread the gospel and talk about my faith to others. But I also know if that doesn't work out, I know that he has another place for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just all about trusting that, which is hard because it's like, you know, you fail a test. You're like, well, you know, God loves me. Jesus loves me. But why am I doing so bad in life? It's like, you know, you're going to mess up in life, but you just have to trust that God has a plan for you and it's all going to be according to his purpose. You know, maybe you're not good at school and you're supposed to be a missionary. Maybe you're supposed to be placed here, or, you know, maybe you're supposed to be a coach. Like, I think it's just all about trusting, like, his will for your life.
Right.
And and just asking, you know, I ask God a lot when I'm praying, just, you know, God, will you take my life and show me what you have for me and eat out my heart's desires and put me where you want me to be.
It's awesome. You know? Yeah. It's beautiful. Jack, I think there's skills. I'm real passionate on this. I feel very sternly on this, if you will. Like, I think we're all given these gifts and talents that are innately great to us. Like, I think there's certain things that you do well, certain things that I do well, that are just specifically put inside of us by God, that are just, they're going to be better than some of the other skills that we have, just absolutely. Because I think he puts us there for whatever that will, whatever that thing is that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so for me, I feel like one of the worst stories is that story of wasted potential. People who don't use those skills or don't try and foster those skills.
Yeah.
And what I think is, like, people who have faith and people who really want to dive into that relationship and have those thoughts of kind of reflection, if you will, are going to recognize those skills sooner and then do that work. I think it's so important.
Absolutely.
To, like, that's the thing, right? I always think about that story of, like, burying the talents, if you will, quite literally. And it's like, that's so sad, right? That idea is so sad because then we're just straying from the beaten path. But to do that so often, to use those skills, we have to do that. We have to get out of the comfort. Like, ironically, I started this by saying, all right, what can I do at the end of 4 years? I have a job. But it's like, you need to do those things while you're in it. But at the same time, you need to look into your skills. And then sometimes it's going to take you off and outside of the comfort, basically, is what I'm trying to get at.
Like, yeah, absolutely, dude. And I think about this, you know, we just had a message. My good friend Josiah, he's RA, so he gives the messages every Thursday at our young adults service. And he just talked about God's plan for your life. And one of the things he talked about, you know, Jesus, you know, you should never be looking ahead or worrying about the future. Just use what God has for you right now. And, like, it's like me. Like, yeah, I'm not playing professional football right now. I want to play professional football, and I love to use my platform to spread the gospel and talk about Jesus to others and share this, like, awesome love that I've experienced. But, like, I realized in that moment, I'm like, well, God, like, I'm already going to these workouts and stuff. Why can't I talk about you when I'm there? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like using what you have now. You know, I have a job right now. I can talk about Jesus to those people. You know, I'm involved in so many. I play soccer 4 times a week. Like, I can talk about Jesus to those people. It's like just taking what God has in your hands now and using that and then just trusting, you know, he'll take care of the rest. Just do what you can now with what he has for you.
So. Yeah. I want to touch on the football part in a second, but one question I want to ask you is, so circle me back if we don't. We will, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
Bible stories are often portrayed as archaic, if you will. Like, right there, it's hard to comprehend because it's from such long times ago.
Right.
I tend to find that they allude to a deeper reality about humanity. Like, I look at different Bible stories. Earlier, I was thinking about Saul when you were talking about just people who have had that, like, conversion, right? I mean, he's probably the most notable of the bunch.
Yeah.
You talk about, like, the doubting aspect. You look at Jonah, and Jonah's like, you want me to do that? I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
Like, there's no shot I'm doing that, right? And then next thing you know, he ends up back on the shores, and he's like, all right, screw it. I'll go. Let's go to Nineveh. Yeah. We're going to do this thing.
Yeah.
How do you take these Bible stories that are rooted in a time that is so different than now?
Yeah.
So different than now, and take them to today?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'll give you two. The first one, you know, a lot of times when I used to struggle with shame and guilt more, was just because I didn't believe the gospel. It was like I would mess up and I'd be like, man, like, God just doesn't love me. Like, I suck. I'm a terrible person. And it's like, I could never be forgiven for this, you know? And, you know, my past, like I've done some really terrible things and I've hurt a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm forgiven for that. And I've reconciled with a lot of those people, I think most, and just like reached out and like apologized. And because I've realized what the love of Jesus is, and you know, that's convicted me of, you know, just changed my heart. And like, I know I needed to do that. But you know, one story that I really reconcile with, just relate to, is the story of David, King David. Mm-hmm. You know, King David literally saw this woman, you know, in the shower bathing, if we're going to make this more of like a modern story, just to translate it, but saw this woman bathing, you know, across another building, and he thought she was attractive. So he had her over, you know, because he was the king and he had all this power, he could do whatever he wants. Had her over his house. They hooked up and he had a kid with her, but the woman was married, which he didn't know. And when he found out, what he did was he basically had her husband, he had an army go to fight this battle, and he had her husband put on the front of the line because he knew that he would die. So he basically killed her husband. So he had sex with this woman, had a kid with her, and then killed the woman's husband.
Great.
And I don't know about you, but that's, right? I don't know about you, but that's a pretty terrible thing. And it's like, but you know, later on we see that David goes to God and he realizes what he's, you know, what he has done is wrong, and God forgives him. And he's changed after that. He's free from that. And it's like, that story just always reminds me when I'm messing up, it's like, God loves me so much. He's willing to forgive me for, you know, these terrible things that I've done in the past. Like, I'm not that person anymore. Jesus doesn't see me as the sin. You know, he sees me as his kid that he loves, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And
so true.
Yeah. So the other, I forget the other story I was going to tell. Oh, yeah. So another story is like when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Mm-hmm. It's like he looks at his boys and he's like, his disciples, he's like, all right, you guys, like, I need you to feed these 5,000 people. Here's a couple of sticks of bread and some water. Right. And they're like, what the frick, dude? Like, how am I going to, we can't feed all these people with this. And Jesus basically says, just feed them. It'll be good. It'll be fine. And they end up being able to feed the 5,000. And like that, I relate to life so much. It's like, oh my gosh, God, like, am I supposed to play? Am I going to get to play professional football? Or like, am I supposed to move back home? Or am I going to, you know, do well in this career? Is this a job for me? And God, you know, Jesus is just looking at me saying like, Jack, bro, like, just do it. Just do what I have. Mm-hmm. Just do with what I've given you in your life now. And trust me and live for me. I'll take care of the rest. You'll be good. Yeah. Just give it your all. And it's like, I just feel like I can relate every, you know, most stories to just how we live our lives now. And I never saw that until like I started going back to church and just hearing the Bible and the stories more. So
that's it. Yeah. And the David story always calls us to remind, like calls to our minds, who are we putting on the front lines? Like, right. Like, what are we doing that's putting people on the front lines?
Yeah.
And then when you look at the story about the loaves and the fish, it's like, okay, what resources do I have in this present time? What can I do with them?
Yeah.
And so to tailor it, Jack, you have these resources of training, right? In the midst of training, you're working to play professional football. Yeah. What does that journey look like? We know the end goal for you, it sounds like making professional football in some capacity, and also using that as a platform to basically spread the good news.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just want to know like what it looks like, what I'm doing now?
Or... Yeah. Where do you want it to go? What's the prayer for you? What's the end game?
Yeah, I think my prayer is just being able to get, you know, I would like to get signed by a CFL team, and I would like to just be able to just use Jesus as the center of that, and, you know, or use, you know, my dream to let people know what my identity is in, and be able to share the love of Jesus like with those guys, and like use that platform for that. You know, I've been training a lot in the weight room and just playing a lot of soccer, like keeping myself in shape, like running routes. And, you know, I don't think there's more training that I could do. There's more work that I could do because I'm, you know, I'm really working hard right now. And I know I'm giving it my best, and I trust, you know, God that he has a plan for my life. But one thing I never do is I don't usually pray for results when I pray. And I have a lot of friends that do. For me, I just don't like to, because I've always just prayed like, you know, God, I'd really like to make the CFL, but if it's not in your will for me, you know, show me what your other purpose is. But I'm going to do with what you have given me in my life right now to share the gospel and share you with people. So it's, I think it's just like trusting him always and just knowing that, that he will take care of everything, you know, not in the sense of like, I think a lot of people think like sometimes, you know, God's got me. It's like, well, God's going to make everything good for what you think is going to happen.
Right.
But it's like, no, like God's going to take care of you in the way and in the vision that he has for your life.
Yeah.
And it will be better.
Yeah.
And you'll see that when he does. But it's like, it's just hard to see right now. You're like, I don't understand why you're putting me here. God, like this sucks right now, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And Jack, you tried out for the XFL.
I did.
Tell us that story.
Yeah. The XFL, I tried out last year. I really just, after I started to find Jesus and this community that I was around in Collective, these guys that are my age that follow Jesus, I think they're a big part of what kind of gave me the confidence to start trying out for these professional teams and start pursuing these workouts. Because, you know, I'm grateful for all of my friends that I have in my life. But these guys, like, because I know they follow Jesus, whenever they say, you know, they just treat me different than anybody ever has. They truly support me. And just when I'm feeling down, they build my confidence back up. One of my best friends, his name is Drew Bodner. I just met him in the past 2 years. And, you know, I just have a lot of times where I just get down on myself. I'm like, maybe, like, I can't make it. Maybe I can't, you know. I just feel like I'm not a good athlete. Like I'm not, you know, I couldn't be a good receiver. And he just always reminds me like that I am and that I have the talent and that God will make it happen if it's in his will. And it's like, I think having those guys in my corner really just motivated me too.
Sure.
And just being at the XFL, just being able to participate in that. And, you know, because I had to apply to get that workout and like send in a couple like huddle videos and stuff like that. So just being like blessed with the opportunity to go down to Orlando and participate in that and just see, you know, all these other athletes there that are from all around the country has been, you know, a blessing and a really cool experience. And just being able to talk about Jesus to those guys too. So,
sure. Yeah. You know. And then how has that translated into you shifting towards the CFL?
Yeah. So the CFL, I'm actually a little more excited for the CFL workouts because the CFL, I get the XFL tryout is only combine based.
Okay.
You're just doing like time drills and stuff like that. You're not actually getting to compete. And the CFL, I'll get to do one-on-ones. I'll get to go against actual defensive backs in the tryout.
Nice.
And like, I'm not really a combine. I'm a real, like real underdog in this because it's like my times, they're fine, but they're not great. You know, like my 40 yard dash is like a 4.5, a low 4.5, which isn't bad, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be guys there that are running like 4.4s and 4.3s.
Yeah.
And like just things like that, those don't help me as much as I'd like them to. So the one-on-ones are kind of where that's my opportunity to show like what I have to these teams.
So, nice. Yeah. It's awesome. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear it. Jack, as we kind of wind down here, there's a couple questions that I always like to close out with.
Absolutely.
The first one, what role do some of the influences in your life play, whether you know the people, whether you don't? We've talked from a faith perspective. Who are some of the other influences you have, again, either that you know personally or that you don't know that we look up to?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously, I've already said this, but, you know, Jesus is my number one influence in my life. He's the center of my life because he gave his life for me and just made me realize that he's always cared about me and loved me through that action. I guess one, like people-wise, like one person that's really impacted me is this, my friend named Josiah Bogue. He is the one that gives the messages on Thursdays. And he was another guy that really pulled me into my relationship with Jesus. And he just does a great job of relating stories in the Bible to how we live our lives today as 20 through 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like just, and he's very transparent. You know, I feel like a lot of times when you go to church or hear any type of message, you look at the guy and you're like, oh, that guy's like perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's like he, in his messages, he shares how like the struggles of his life like affected him and how hard like his life's been at times. And it's like, oh man, like I really relate to that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, that really, I really think God uses him to speak to me a lot. So
that's fantastic. Those people are so valuable. I mean, just such blessings.
Yeah,
really, absolutely. They are, and they make us see the best in life and like push ourselves. So that's awesome. Shout out Josiah on that. Second question. Let's go this way. Second question. Do you have any regrets in your life that you specifically look back on and say, you know what, I don't like that whatsoever? And how has it affected you in changing it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Regrets. I think one regret I just have in life is not picking up a football sooner.
Okay.
I think I wish I would have tried more sports in high school.
Okay.
My parents made me try every sport when I was little, and I always like played every sport like growing up. But in high school, I kind of had that mentality of like, I just want to play that one sport.
Sure.
So I wish I would have just, I think in general, my biggest regret in life is not putting myself in more uncomfortable situations like I am now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like now, because I realize like Jesus is the center of my life and his opinion is the only opinion like I really do like care for. It's like that's enabled me to take these leaps of faith, like trying out for pro teams and just doing whatever.
Just putting, go for it.
Yeah, right? Going for it. So I think that's probably, that's my biggest regret, is just not realizing that sooner.
And that's so fair. Yeah, because you learn so much about yourself by putting yourself in situations that you're unfamiliar with, that you're quote unquote uncomfortable with. With that, the last question that I always have, and to backstory it, I really believe that people who are grateful tend to just live better lives. I believe that people who practice gratitude are happier. Bottom lines, our videographer and I are working on a gratitude project right now. Super excited to keep working on that and unveil that when the time comes. But what role does gratitude play in your life?
Yeah, I think gratitude plays a huge role in my life. I think one of the biggest things that God has given me to show me how grateful I can be in my life is my parents. My mom and dad raised us very well, and I'm just grateful for them being able to show me what a healthy marriage looks like and what a healthy family.
So powerful.
Yeah, what a healthy family, you know, has, you know, how it's built me into the man that I am today. And I think I take that for granted a lot, because I have a lot of friends who, you know, either grew up without a father or a mother, or their parents are divorced, and, you know, they're still, you know, just as well as me, for sure. But I definitely just take that for granted, because that was definitely like a blessing or bonus or whatever you want to call it that God has given me to just show me gratitude. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Jack, is there any closing thoughts or any advice that you want to share out, whether to a specific audience, to our audience as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to our audience, I just definitely say, just to kind of think about what we talked about and just, you know, take into consideration, giving Jesus a chance to be the center of your life, because he can do, you know, wonderful things, and he can change your life, and it can only go up from there if you make that decision. So
if someone listening right now says, you know, I'm willing to take the chance, what would you say they should do?
Yeah, I'd love for them to reach out to me. You know, I'm sure we can put my number in the comments or something, or my email.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'd love to talk to you, whoever you are. I don't care, any human being that wants to do that. Like, I'd love to talk to you or sit down, get lunch, talk more about it. That'd be awesome. So
yeah, great. So what you're hearing Jack say is to trust those people who are in your corner, Jack being one of them. It's important to find quote-unquote mentors or people that influence our faith, and I think just who we are and who we want to be. So Jack, I appreciate you offering that. To his point, all of Jack's information will be in the description below, whether it's on YouTube or in the audio for the podcast. So you will see that below. If you're on YouTube, check the pinned comment. YouTube's wacky with what they allow me to do or not do. Jack, it's been a pleasure. I mean, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This is a special episode, and I think you share great wisdom, great stories that are real tangible. It's important with anything, but like when you tell a story, to make it so that people can remember it, right? Like, I think back to speakers that I've seen or movies that we've watched, it's those moments when the story stands out and then you remember the message. You know, again, it's Jonah gets spit out by the whale. It's those kind of things that you remember. It's Saul to Paul. The stories are incredible. So I appreciate you being on, Jack.
Well, thank you for having me. It was awesome to get to talk with you and just share a little bit about what's going on in my life. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 45 of the Chats with Clark podcast with Jack Lakovic. I thank you all for tuning in. If you have not already, hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell if you're on YouTube, follow us along. We are glad to have you on this journey. If you ever want to be on the podcast, have any questions, or is there anything that you want to hear, shoot me an email. You'll also find that in the description below. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. This has been another episode of Chats with Clark.